Welcome to the Cryptomaniacs Podcast. Join Taskmaster 4450 and John G. Olson each and every week as they dive into the crazy world of cryptocurrency. If you are new to crypto or you've been through a few bear markets in the past, this podcast is for you. It's time to start the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to another fun-filled episode of the Cryptomaniacs Podcast, where I'm losing my hair. Task has no hair. Well, actually, I have no hair either. Are you still follically challenged today, sir? Things good?
Yeah, I had sliced the back of my head a few days ago, so I was hippie-like before today. I had like 3 or 4 days of growth. That, I mean, it was like, you know, I could have braided the shit.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. That's impressive. Like 4 days of growth. It was like intolerable. Yeah. I nicked the back of my head real bad with the razor, and it was like, whoops. Well, I'm not going to be shaving my head for a while.
So you shave, you physically take the razor and bick it.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not completely bald naturally. My hairline is back here. So this is got it. Then I got the yarmulke. This is on my mom's family. All the males have the bald spot here. And so if I grew it out, I'd probably be close to a comb over maybe at this point. I don't know. It's thin up here.
Yeah, I'm doing okay, man. I mean, can't really see it, but
yeah, you know, I'd probably have the wrap around like that. Yeah. I have a little more. I think I got a little more up top than you do, but it would be very, very sparse.
God, you love to see it. You love to see it. How's your days been? The whole 48 hours since we've spoken last.
Just plugging along, did shitload of posts on Leo and keep building. And, you know, the big news is, Tokenized Society took my rant to heart and he started a cocktail recipe. He's posting threads on them and I've been collecting them, and there's now a cocktail recipe page, which he keeps filling up. In the last 2 days, he's probably added 35 or so recipes for different types of drinks. And it's looking very nice. I think it's a good looking page. And, you know, we have to keep in mind that with the announcement of Leo AI, all of this stuff is going to be feeding into the language model, the learning model. And so the more type of data that we get in there, the more type of information we get in there, the more that this system will be able to spit out. Now, I don't know what Leo AI is going to be. Is it going to be a scaled down version of a chatbot? I mean, will you be able to ask it questions? It'll be able to spit out answers. If it has enough data and there's enough compute, I'm sure you can do that, but we may not have that. So it may only be a situation where it's pulling data from the threads. I don't know exactly how it's going to work, but you know, I do know that the more data you feed into these things and the more stuff we post and the more stuff of this nature. So, you know, if you ask it what's in a Tom's Collins, if it can pull it off a thread, it'll be able to answer that. So, I mean, that's the value of putting this information on chain. And of course, Leo AI will eventually, once the Leo node set up, they'll go into the blog posts and start pulling from blog posts and learning, using that for training.
So your rant, which was quite popular on Tuesday, it did its job. It lit some firecrackers.
Well, it lit tokenized. Either that or he just sobered up. One of the two. I don't know. With him, you never know. And of course, he decides to write about drinks. So, I mean,
that's perfect.
Yeah, you know, you got to do something that you're passionate about and keep your interest. And him sitting at work writing up drink recipes, I guess, excites him. No, it's, you know, Django, I don't know how people sit here and talk about Web3 and even have any type of semblance of a mental construct and sit there thinking Web3 will be anything if we have no data. If we don't have Web3 data, how are we going to have any services, any applications, anything? We can't. You know, and what are we going to depend on Web2 data? I mean, this is just absurd. And the idea that, you know, in a year, year and a half, you're going to be able to scrape the data off Web2. I mean, they're already starting to limit these APIs. So in another couple of years, you're not going to be scraping anything off anybody because they're just going to say, get lost. So, I mean, we have to get the data into the database, get it into Leo, get it into Hive, and then people can start working with it. You can start to build applications. You can start to do things like Leo AI. You know, if there weren't 1 million threads, what would Leo AI have trained on? It wouldn't have had anything to train on. And of course, by the same token, if we flip it around, what if instead of 1 million threads, it had 5 million threads? You know, for 9 months, I've been saying, put more, do more, do more. And it falls on deaf ears. But, you know, this stuff feeds into something larger. But, you know, most people, they can't see their nose in front of their face. So, you know, tokenized stepped up and, you know, I have no problem going through his profile and capturing, you know, and setting up 10, 15, 20 links a day or whatever he's creating and throwing it on a page. And so there's something else he did. And I think it's looking very good. And, you know, it's not that complicated. We have a way to take something that is usually pretty worthless, threads. And, you know, I mean, who's going to write a Pulitzer Prize winning thread? And, you know, something that gets lost and it adds value to it. It's, you know, I mean, I'm not a drinker, so the idea of a Tom Collins or a Bloody Mary or any of these is not real useful to me. But good information to have out there and, you know, to be able to pull up if you need it. And as I was saying the other day, the areas you can go into are unlimited.
Speaking of tokenized, he joins us in chat for the evening. Greetings. Hope you're enjoying your beverage.
He's got plenty of good ones to choose from. I hope he's just not drinking a beer. I hope he pulled up a thread and started to make one.
Speaking of threads, a few news bits. Should we show and tell, dive into people's questions and kind of showcase what's been going on here with threads over the past little bit? This is pretty exciting, guys.
You going to bring it up tonight?
Yep. Yeah, it's coming. Just give me one sec. There we go. How's that, guys? Do we notice anything different about the Threadcast? Do you notice anything different, Task?
Yeah, me and Cal are in the Threadcast.
Oh. So this was announced. It was kind of like Cal put a little snippet up, but it's live on Labs right now.
Are you this show?
I'm in Labs. Yeah, this is in Labs.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So this showcases the people that are hosting live Threadcasts. And
actually not even hosting, because Cal's not hosting, he's just in it. This must be open on his phone or his computer.
No.
I don't know why you're not showing up, but
No, it's for if you're hosting one. That's what it's for.
Hosting one. Oh, okay. So yeah. I set up one, he set up, okay, that's right. He set up a Oh, okay. Yeah,
he's got the scheduler one going, right?
So, okay, yeah. Which, that's what he meant by the scheduler. I didn't know what it meant. But now, what happens when you put your cursor over? What does it say? Anything?
Taskmaster's Threadcast.
And what about on?
Cal's Threadcast.
Oh, so I guess if you click it, you go to Cal's Threadcast. So, okay. So if there are 20.
I'll show it to people right now. Yeah.
So you clicked on Cal.
So I just clicked on Cal's, right? And now go back to yours for tonight. It's pretty sick.
Oh, okay. Well, I see how it works. Okay. I misunderstood. I thought it was going to show who's in the Threadcast. Okay. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
But that's not really the scheduler to me. I mean, I thought the scheduler was.
Yeah, no, he just created a Threadcast to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I thought you said that was going live potentially tonight too. I don't know.
Oh, really? Yeah. I had to do a lot of self-reflection over your little rant because it goes without saying I'm extremely bullish on Leo and Hive. I mean, these are my darlings, let's say. It's what I really believe in. I see everything that Cal is doing, and I have these just like nodding, like, yes, that's what we need. Yes. Like, I'm just agreeing with everything that's being done. My issue was always, which is the big elephant in the room, is the node issue. And listening to the AMA, listening to your rant, I wasn't on the edge, trust me, by any stretch, but I was concerned that we weren't putting focus on what mattered most, and that was user experience. Like, all of these features are fantastic. I love it. I think this is absolutely brilliant. But if we weren't working towards getting Leo node, we weren't working towards getting better ways for Leo to handle all the different APIs and all this stuff, then I'd be super concerned. But this, just like you said the other day, this is growing pains. This is not VC funded $20 billion in your bank account to go do whatever you want. This is grassroots, boots on the ground, bootstrapped, old school entrepreneurship 101. Let's get it done. We want something done. Let's go do it ourselves. What you're doing with Leo Glossary,
yay,
what Cal's doing with building Leo Node. So hearing that and then seeing this a week ago, if I would have saw this, I would have been like, well, what about the Leo node? Like, that's what matters. But today, yesterday, the service seemed to be, because I know he says that he's working on things in the background. So I see this and I'm just like, okay, I was never off board, but I'm back on board. Does that make any sense? Like, I was concerned, you know, but
yeah, you were focusing on shit that you thought was important, which it's important if it's not being addressed. It was being addressed.
And that's, and, yeah.
You know, you talk about the user experience. Who cares? We don't have any fucking users. So it doesn't matter. And people say, well, we got to get users. And that's what I ranted about. Well, what are you going to get users with? We have no services. And I just wrote a post before we went on air, which is a follow-up to a post I did the other night about Leo AI. That's a service. You know, now I don't know what the AI engine is going to look like. I don't know what we'll be able to do with it, but it's a service. It's going to be, from what I understand, under Leo Premium, and you'll be able to interact with it similar to a ChatGPT, albeit much smaller, much more limited, probably much more focused on Leo stuff. But that's what is key. And that's what I'm doing with Music on Leo and Leo Glossary. You know, to have these things that can provide people with either something that captures their attention while they're here, or B, gives the app developers an opportunity to say, okay, there's something here that I can work with, and I can build a front end around this. I can build an application around this that people will utilize. So I was never concerned about the nodes because it's like, I don't know how it's being addressed. Even if I knew, I couldn't tell you because I wouldn't know what the hell they told me. I mean, you know, that, you know, block trades is going to tend to what block trades tends to. I don't have a problem with that. And, you know, after the AMA, the only thing I could conclude with the notes is it's Leo's fault. I mean, ultimately, that's what I conclude. The API mm-hmm. problem is caused by Leo. We pull information in a different way, and we pull it a lot more frequently. And this just overwhelms the other nodes, and the other nodes are sitting there saying, fuck you, we're not running these APIs for Leo. And so they say they limit it for DDoS. I'll be honest with you, if it was my node and I'm paying all that money for an API node, and I'd limit Leo too. So, mm-hmm. you know, Cal has said 99% he feels, and I'll go with his numbers, he feels 99% of the issues with Leo will go away once they get Leo node going. And he also did thread out earlier tonight, he's hoping, it's not written in stone, he's hoping maybe that'll be live in 48 hours, maybe.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, you know, now, will that solve all the Hive node issues? No. There may still be other Hive node issues. I mean, if you read the last post by VSC, this wasn't talking about node issues per se, but this was talking about multi-sig wallets and some of the issues there, if you will, versus what is capable. And, you know, basically VSC said, you know, we need to integrate this different type of whatever system that can allow from, you know, 30 or 40 multi-sigs to thousands. You know, so there are things at the core level that need addressing, whether it's in functionality and reliance and dependability, or whether it's in stuff that you and I have no clue about with the code and, you know, multi-sig wallets and what's available and Z whatever and all this other stuff. So, you know, it's, again, I was never worried because it's like, okay, it's a pain in the ass, but it's being addressed. Mm. I mean, Cal's been talking about Leo node for weeks now. I mean, he's actually been talking about it for months, yeah. But, you know, for months it was okay down the road, but for weeks he's been talking about, hey, we're working on it.
Yeah.
You know, and every week he says, I always say it's going to be another week and it's not, but you know, that's, and the other thing is, and I don't know a ton about this stuff, but I do know enough, this node is going to be configured just for Leo. So mm-hmm. the pull request that Leo does, it's going to be configured for that. And of course, Leo isn't going to limit themselves. So, you know, they'll limit for a DDoS, but.
I saw the thread that you're referring to where he mentioned 48 hours. And a guy I've known and really respect for, you know, going on almost 20 years now, Bitcoin Flood, mentioned something that kind of, I wanted to bring it up to ask you on how they would handle this. And Bitcoin Flood was like, yeah, this is great, but this is a single point of failure. So is this just, you know, obviously I'm not techie. Would this be a way that they would, obviously the plan down the road is to have like a bunch of Leo holders get their own nodes to help distribute, like, you know, maybe get rewarded this and or, but like right now out of the gate, would they have it set up where Leo node is rocking, and if Leo node fails for whatever reason, it goes back to the Hive APIs while they fix it? Does that make sense? Is that how they would do it now, you think?
They might, I don't know, or they might have a backup node. I mean, you know, once you get into centralization, you can backup nodes and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I can't even guarantee every pull request will go through the Leo node exclusively, because there may be some things that they still parse out to other nodes, such as blog posts and pulling blog post information, because that's not, you know, as it doesn't hit the volume that the threads do. You know, maybe wallet information is pulled, you know, from other nodes. I mean, there's a lot of different ways they can do it. And then there's some other ways where you can set up the redundancy. But again, Cal said on the AMA, he's open sourcing the note. So anybody can pick it up and take that server software and run the node themselves. Now, could you or I do it? Probably not.
Maybe we could. Maybe that'll be fun. I proposed to Eric and Nifty.
If you ask me how even do you get a note, I'm like, shit, I don't know. Ask Nifty. I don't know.
Ask Nifty. Yeah, Nifty.
I have no idea where the hell to get a note. You know, people talk about PrivX or whatever. It's like, okay. Ultimately, the idea of all of this is to get to the point of where the average person can provide infrastructure. And, you know, let's be honest. A Leo node is going to be on town, I would say, is going to be on town hall's agenda. I mean, that's an ideal use case for town hall. And Nifty does have the capabilities and the technical ability to get something like that up and running. You know, now, I don't know, will it be cost effective? It may not be cost effective for a year. I mean, who knows? I don't know how any of that works and, you know, what size and what, again, will they set up where we can have a small node but take some of the volume off? I just don't know enough about the technical aspect of things. But, you know, I mean, it's like they always say, Bitcoin started out as centralized. Guess who the first miner was? Satoshi. Guess who the only miner was? Satoshi. Until the second mining ring was set up, it was 100% centralized. So, you know, you got to build this stuff and then start moving out off of it. And, we've come a long way because if you think about Steam, it was running pretty much the only API node. Mm-hmm. And that now we have 8 or 9 of them, and Leo will be another one, and you know, structured a little bit differently because it has different needs. And maybe that will end up being picked up. And guess what? Maybe Essency decides to incorporate that because they're doing stuff with their Waves stuff. Maybe they decide to incorporate that into their API. Or if they set up an API. You just don't know where this stuff goes, but you need the infrastructure. And to sit there and say, well, it's a single point of failure. What the fuck? It's not even up. And you're saying this is a problem. We have a problem now. Look at how the shit worked for the last 2 weeks. I mean, it worked like crap. I mean, it's something has to be done. So you set up something, and even if it's the only one, then you work on decentralizing after that and pushing it further out.
Good point. Tokenize got a few questions for us. Let's fire this one up. What alternatives to centralized exchanges do we currently have to bring money in and out of crypto? Do you believe more will come in the near future?
Well, I mean, when you say money, are you talking fiat? Or are you talking fiat, just other crypto? Because, I mean, in the United States, I don't know about Canada, you guys, if you're not there with us, you're not far behind. I mean, it's very hard to get in and out of Hive if you're in the United States now. Basically, you can't do it. It's impossible. So there are some exchanges. I mean, Binance still does have Hive on it. So people can get in and out of that way. This is where the liquidity pools. I mean, Leo Premium, this is what Cal is talking about. With Leo Premium, the premium membership, HBD, is used to go buy Leo, and it's used to go buy Hive. And that's put in the liquidity pool on BSC, and then the LP tokens are burnt. So that way, that liquidity is permanent. And the reason for that is to try to have a growing pool on BSC where you can use USDT, USDC, you can use Tether, you can use, you know, whatever tokens are on BSC, and you can ultimately get into either get into and out of either get Leo. Now, I don't know. I mean, what's gone in there in the last month? $1,500. So you're not looking at a lot. But as somebody asked, and I think it was in the threads, I kind of caught it in my notification. I answered it. I think I answered it. But, you know, what if you have 10,000 users of premium? Well, that's 100,000 a month.
100K a month going into this. That's
So after a year, you got 1.2 million. Well, then you can move. You can move 50,000 in and out of there rather easily. Right. You know, they call me Dan has talked about this with the SIP. That's their idea of the SIP on Speak Network is again to get a liquidity pool. You know, Vault-Tec with VSC. I mean, a Bitcoin to Hive swap. You know, that's big, that's very big. And, you know, on a decentralized node system. So they're being set up, you know, will we ever get on somebody's DEXs? I think it goes back to what Django said. We're Hive. We got to build it ourselves. Just fuck it. We got to build it ourselves. And that's what, by the way, VSC is doing. They're building an exchange. And yes, it'll only have two tokens. It'll have Hive. And wrap Bitcoin to start, but I think it'll be expandable where if they have wrapped the ETH tokens, with if they have any community tokens that are developed in smart contracts, all this, then, you know, hey, you can swap it there.
He follows that up with, what do you guys think about crypto debit cards and do you own one? I'll get your response first, Task, and then I'll get into my
time. I've never used one. So I don't have much of an opinion on it. Again, for the problem is with the crypto debit card, it's the same thing I've railed against with these value capture token. I mean, if you're using a crypto debit card and you have USDC on there, okay, that's cool. If you have USDT on there, that's cool because stable coins are for payments. But if you're using a crypto debit card to pay for something with, you know, let's say Ethereum, well, with what Ethereum's done over the last month, you're just pissed off because whatever you bought, your Big Mac just costs you 60% more or whatever Ethereum's run up. So,
well, I don't know how other ones work. I'm just going to talk about crypto.com because that's the one I have. And it doesn't work necessarily like that. How it works is you take the crypto and you swap it for fiat. That's how it works. So the fiat gets loaded onto your debit card. The crypto isn't loaded on your debit card. So you have to do the exchange. So, and then the debit card works just like a bank card.
It's like doing a swap with Coinbase, except now you have a card that you can just go and instead of sending the money to your bank, it's on your card and now you can go pay for your
the choice. Yeah. So I have the choice. I can either withdraw it to my bank or I can load it up on my debit card. Well,
in that sense, I've fed my
family off of for the past couple of years through the debit card at crypto.com. So,
yeah. You're effectively selling your crypto for fiat and just using the fiat on a card that somebody issues, which the crypto.com, by the way, I guarantee if you look on the back, you'll find a bank is behind that floating it. So, you know, that'll be through Chase or Capital One or somebody is standing behind the card. You know, so to me, that's okay. It's kind of novel, but it's really not. You're just selling your crypto instead of sending it to your bank. It's on a card. Okay, cool. But you're not paying in crypto. You're paying in fiat.
Yeah, it says Visa International Digital Commerce Bank.
Oh, so, I don't know who the hell that is.
It's a Visa debit card, but
yeah, I mean they're going to come under Visa because everybody and their brother knows it. I mean, it's, you know, it seems like it's a good way. I mean, there's a good way to get out of. I mean, you talk. I mean, I don't think they take Hive on crypto.com.
No, not on crypto.com. No.
But you know, it's just a way to easily. I mean, if the exchange rate is okay, it's a it seems like a decent way to get out of your Litecoin or your Ethereum into fiat.
It's like it. The big thing for me is it's the choice, right? Like, so I had a debit card. I had the first PayPal debit card. Like, that's how far back I go. So this isn't new to me, to having what you're doing online, being able to flip it for use case, like actual being able to use the card for whatever you need it for. But I love that there's the choice. You can either choose to get it withdrawn into your bank, or you can choose to load it up on your debit card. Now, when I do my swaps, it's Litecoin. That's what I flip Hive for Litecoin on Hive Engine and send it to crypto.com. So it's, you know, it sucks that I'm taking it out of the ecosystem, but you do have those options. Like, once VSC comes up and there's wrapped Bitcoin, I mean, the world opens up, but
yeah, it
gets right now,
it gets a lot easier, because then you can go and get into Bitcoin, which, okay, your fees suck, but you know, you can go to any exchange with that. And, you know, hopefully to get around the fees, John and I have always used Litecoin, and hopefully Vault-Tec will add Litecoin to the service soon. So then, you know, you can swap Hive for Litecoin and then send your Litecoin to Coinbase or crypto.com or whatever.
Yeah. Zachary just wanted to know, because there's actually a Canadian company up here, and he asked if I use the ShakePay Visa card. ShakePay is a Canadian crypto company that does have a debit card too. I have not used them. Crypto.com has served me well, but you know the way these exchanges go. They might get shut down next month. So I have my options open. So I might go to ShakePay next week. I don't know. You know, it's just... it's the Wild West, man. And that's what it was like back in the day before PayPal became this big PayPal. Like, there was literally this thing called eGold that was what you used to use. There was things called StormPay and also all sorts of these little debit card companies that popped up that allowed you to flip. You'd be able to get money and charge credit cards, merchant accounts, but they'd put the money onto this debit card that you could either take off to withdraw into your funds, or you just used it as a regular debit card. So I'm not expecting the crypto.com card to last forever, but you know, it's there right now.
So depends on what side of the bed Gary Gensler wakes up on, I guess.
Good point. Very good point. Very good point. I'm kind of all over the place now, but, yeah, well, tokenized. We spoke about, he says, what's the next tentacle of Leo Glossary? Anything cooking already? See what he did there? Isn't that, that's savvy. That's great.
I don't know what he's hinting at with the cooking, because I don't have anything on that. So maybe after he's done with his cocktails, he has other recipes. I don't know his culinary skills. But yes, there is something cooking. It's being worked on. It's using ThreeSpeak as a repository. It's building a glossary. It's building a library in that realm, and hopefully the vision with this is, if the technological wave of AI goes the way I think it is, then basically what we're going to be doing with Leo Glossary is positioning this to be a force in a much different realm than just, you know, an online glossary. But what it's going to take is, it's going to take not only a technological advancement, it's going to take some skill set. So we're working on the skill set and trying to figure things out right now. But yes, I'm not only going to be blasting the blockchain with blog posts, I'm going to start blasting ThreeSpeak with videos many times a day to get a library built there. And of course, there will be either a synopsis or the script of the video. Right now, we're just doing two and a half minute videos, but a script of the videos, which then, of course, will be all linked to Leo glossary pages. So it'll have that tie in if somebody's reading through the synopsis or the transcript, you know, and there's the word, I don't know, cryptocurrency. It'll be linked back to the Leo glossary cryptocurrency page. So, yes, there are other tentacles. There's not only tentacles. I mean, tentacles could be two different things. I mean, there's always different areas to go into under a glossary mindset. I mean, it's like Token and I stepped up and just started posting these recipes, and I just started grabbing them for drinks. I wouldn't consider that a tentacle because it's still just part of the glossary. It's part of, you know, what we're building. And that you can go in infinite directions, but then there are other tentacles that I'm working on that I have people working on that, you know, we can start to take similar concepts and expand them out.
Mm. Love it. Cal stopped by and wanted to highlight the threadcast. So he says it's looking great. I agree. And we got actually a quite a bit of feedback from both Sadcree and Tokenize. They said they were switching back and forth between both threadcasts using the option up top there, and they said it works very smooth. So that's good. Good to know.
And, like a bunch of children having to push buttons. It's like, don't touch this. They're touching it.
Yes.
No, that's cool. I mean, it's so I guess if there's like 10 or 20 threadcasts going simultaneously, they'll all be there and you can exit and enter threadcasts as you see fit.
Yep. Love it. Finding Freedom's got a couple of comments here, but they had a question. What other features would you guys like to have for threadcasts?
You're going to say the scheduler, right? That's what you want to see, but that's being developed, right?
Yeah, that's being developed. I agree with Sadcree. Him and I have talked about this for 6 or 7 months since, again, he was putting together the EPL threadcast back, you know, May, June. So, I mean, that's how far back this stuff goes. And for the exposure, we do need a scheduler, we need a calendar, we need something where people can go in and look and say, oh, 4 o'clock today, Jungo's doing a threadcast. Right. And this threadcast is, you know, for, you know, his Thursday afternoon soap opera or whatever.
Gotta be a soap opera.
I don't know what the fuck you watch. So whatever, you know, The Price is Right, you know, whatever you want to threadcast about. But is that even on anymore? Because Bob Barker's dead. So
yeah, Drew Carey's been the host for like 15 years now.
Yeah, I know Bob Barker's been off it forever. Well, hell, yeah. He's like 100 years old or something. But so that's coming. I don't know how it'll look or where it'll be on the site. What else on the threadcast? I don't know. I don't know if there's really much. I mean, you can do things. I mean, it would be cool to, you know, kind of like, you know how when you play a YouTube video and then you go to another page, the YouTube video shows up on the bottom right. I mean, it would be kind of cool that if you could like embed a feed, you know, like if we're streaming this on Twitter, if you could like embed that right in the bottom right there, so people, as they're scrolling through the threadcast, they could see that. Something like that might be cool, but I really haven't thought about what to add to the threadcast. I still would like to have discussions where if you use the tag discussions, you get the same thing as a threadcast in terms of the functionality with the reversing of the comments and the auto updating and all of that. You use the tag discussion, not threadcast, meaning there is no broadcast, there is no central show or game or something, but we're going to have a discussion about cryptocurrency, or we're going to have a discussion about online marketing, or we're going to have a discussion about, you know, Elon Musk, or we're going to have a discussion about Joe Biden or whatever it is, politics. And you have these discussions And then people can get involved in the discussions that interest them. And it just goes on throughout the day and people can jump in and out of these different discussions.
What do you think of, I don't know how familiar you are with this. It's a YouTube feature, but super chats. So the idea with super chats is, you know, someone is doing a live stream and there's a chat, and to get the comments noticed more, people pay or, you know, donate. It's tipping basically. But they call it super chatting, right?
I don't know how much it would be used. I mean, I know it's used pretty frequently on YouTube, but depending on the, you know, the one who's putting on the broadcast, you know, I mean, if it's not that hard to build, I mean, why not? Where somebody, you know, uses HBD and says, here's one HBD to answer my question. I guess you could do that. You know, the problem with that,
HBD. I love
it. Of course. Well, you know, people need to get out of the, I mean, I don't go and tip somebody with my IBM stock or my Home Depot stock. I mean, understand what this shit is. But the one drawback I see to that, Django, especially with Hive, is, you know, I would presume the YouTube super chat that really caters to the Western world, to the developed world. We have a lot of people from the undeveloped world. We have a lot of people in you know, economically disadvantaged countries, which is great, which is, this is what we can serve. But now again, you're getting into, well, if somebody does that and it costs like 2 HBD, let's say, to get noticed. Well, 2 HBD to somebody in Nigeria may be a lot. Mm-hmm. So now it's like you're not getting noticed. So, I mean, that, you know, I don't know. Is that really a major con? It would preclude me from building the option, the feature, if I was intent on building the feature. So, you know, that might be one drawback. But, I mean, you know, something like that, build it. And if people use it, great. I mean,
one of the pushbacks I got, and we're witnessing this, Eliana and myself with CTBX, like a couple of weeks ago, we announced, like, listen, like the only way to get upgrades now is to use HBD. Like, we took out PayPal, we took out all the other crypto options. Like, the only way to upgrade your account in CTBX is through HBD. We've had three people basically do it. And one of the things I noticed over the years, especially with the 20% APR, is that people just don't want to spend their HBD. They'd rather put it in savings and get their 20%. How do we get around that? Is it educational thing? Is it just like explaining to people that we need this stuff to be used for commerce? Is it, what is it? What can we do to make HBD a much more usable token for commerce?
Well,
and it's tipping, great, for that matter.
Well, it's a great token for commerce. It's the problem is liquidity. I mean, I can get, let's say I can get 20% off. I can get better than 20% off Tesla stock, but I still pay my rent. I don't take all my money and put it in Tesla stock because I got to pay my rent. You know, I want to go to Burger King or McDonald's once in a while. I want to go get an ice cream sundae. I want to go buy something at the mall, whatever. It's currency. I mean, if you want to put it all in savings, fine. But if you want something, you better spend it. I mean, it's like premium. Well, you know, if you want these features, it's going to cost. I mean, it's like your electric bill. If you want electricity, you pay the electric company, you give them money. If you want the Leo premium features, you pay the 10 HBD. You know, it's just people, I don't know why they're people have just such a fucked up way of looking at things. You know, they look at currency, a medium of exchange, not as a medium of exchange, and then they look at something that's a value capture, an asset, and they want to spend that. It's like, what goes on in your head? I want to keep my HBD because of 20%. Can I pay in Leo? Are you a moron? I mean, are you a fool? You know, HBD could go up 30% in a day. HBD could double in 6 months. I mean, not HBD, Leo. Right. Double in 6 months, could triple in a year. I mean, that's where wealth is built. Yeah, I love the 20% on HBD. I got a lot of HBD in there. Part of it's because I can't get massive amounts of HBD out into fiat because I'm in the fucking United States. So,
well, that's what Finding Freedom just mentioned in the threadcast. Like on Hive, an HBD is an HBD if they're earned. But if you buy them with fiat, it's expensive everywhere. The fee buying HBD with fiat on peak D is quite high, like BTC type high. And that's what you're mentioning. Like getting it in and out is a problem. And here's the monkey in, you know, the big elephant in the room. I said monkey in the room, the elephant in the room. Will VSC alleviate this?
Well, it's going to come down to liquidity. I mean, VSC will VSC. Well, it depends. Also, are you talking Hive? Are you talking HBD? I mean, VSC is doing so many different things that are of really interesting and how it will unfold. But it all comes down to liquidity. And if there's enough liquidity, yeah, then the spreads on HBD and Bitcoin, or Hive, excuse me, and Bitcoin will be reasonable. If there's no liquidity, you're going to look at big spreads, which then, you know, is shooting ourselves in the foot, and you won't be able to move massive quantities either. So you got to get the liquidity on there. But also the other thing about VSC that I find of great interest is for those nodes that are going to handle wrapping, they got double collateral. So if you want to wrap $1,000 worth of Bitcoin, you need to put up 2,000 HBD. And I think that's a very, very interesting use case for HBD. Now, this gets away from your payment discussion and your medium of exchange. But now you're adding HBD. You're adding collateralization to HBD. Granted, not collateralization tied to loans. You're looking at collateralization tied to infrastructure. But I mean, that just adds a total another total element. And I'll say one thing about the lending platforms. Why I keep hammering on that. That may tie into what you're saying, because what happens, Django, if I set up a lending platform where you can put up your Hive, you can put up your Leo as collateral on a loan, but the loan is paid out in HBD. Now the HBD is the currency you're getting as payment or as in return for the loan. And maybe that'll help change the mindset to say, you know, okay, these are my collateral agents. These are my assets. These are my stocks. This is my real estate. This is my, you know, gold. These are my commodities. This is my currency. And maybe that'll help. It's like, you know, I mean, people don't have this problem with DAI. Why? Because they go on to Ethereum or whatever the hell the chain, that I guess it's Ethereum, and they put up their Bitcoin and they get DAI as the currency. Well, now what do you do with the DAI? You know, now you got to go do something with it, and they probably go buy more Bitcoin or whatever the heck they do with it. But you know, it's like, this is currency now. So I think that may help, because all of a sudden when people take out a loan, they get something that they can go spend. But, you know, again, it's where you're at. I mean, we've talked to the Venezuelans. They don't give a shit about the 20%. Why? Because they're running around buying cosmetics and lunch and dinner and all kinds of things in Sucre with HBD. To them, it's a currency. To them, it's a medium of exchange. You know, they're not sitting there saying, oh, well, we're going to get 20%. You know, it comes in, it goes out. They're transacting in it.
ATMA.love brought this up, and I'm not sure Ken Code's Hive Pay. I mean, Hive Pay was ours. I don't know if that's a completely different one, but the one we developed a couple of years ago, HivePay.io, we built a fully functioning merchant service. Like you could literally run your entire business on HivePay. You could have used it instead of PayPal and called it a day. It would, like, out of everything that we've developed on this blockchain, I was probably the most proud of HivePay, because it was exactly what we needed. We built it because we needed it for our websites. The problem was no one used it. This was the issue. Now, I don't know if that's changed, but you hear, you know, you hear a lot of people that are in the commerce stuff. You see, hear Logical Dude talk about it a lot too. All of these services are available. The problem is no one uses it. Mm-hmm. Is this a blockchain problem? But I think it's bigger because the Maxis, I was listening to a podcast the other day, and the Maxis were telling Dave Portnoy that smart people in Bitcoin never spend their Bitcoin. I'm like, you buffoons. Really? Is that what you're telling people? You Bitcoin Maxis. You think this is a crypto problem? Because just what you said, people don't look at crypto as currency. They look at it as this buy and hold digital gold type thing. So no one wants to use this stuff. Even though we have all of these services, we have all of this stuff. You can do tipping now. You can, with the PayPal script, not the PayPal script, but HivePay, you could have set up a business on it. No one uses this stuff. Is that just crypto as a whole, the way that we look at this? Or is there something deeper going on?
No, this is the fucked up mindset, how people don't understand what the hell they're talking about. The Bitcoin Maxis that you heard on that podcast are absolutely correct. This is why I say every Bitcoin Maxi who says Bitcoin's going to replace the US dollar, they're full of shit. And the Bitcoin Maxis are telling you the same thing. Why? Because we take our Bitcoin and we hold it because it's going to go up to $1 million of Bitcoin. And okay, if it's going up in price, if it's going up to 100,000, why would I spend it at 40,000? Because whatever I'm buying today, if I'm buying something for 20 bucks, it's going to go up to 100,000 from 40. That's 2.5 times. So whatever I just bought for 100 bucks or for 20 bucks cost me 50. Yeah. That's the mindset. So this is why I say these are not medium of exchange coins. Hive is not a medium of exchange coin. We accept Hive for payment. Why? That's stupid. Leo's not a medium of exchange. They capture value. Bitcoin captures the value of the Bitcoin network. Now, you can argue whether it's a proper reflection, whether the market's pricing it right. That you can argue till the cows come home. But the simple fact of the matter is, if you're thinking about these networks as digital real estate or these platforms, if their layer two is digital real estate, having these coins or having these tokens gives you a certain amount of that real estate, depending on how things are structured and what they're used for. And, you know, on Hive, it's pretty easy because if you stake the Hive, you know, that gives you a certain amount of engagement with the database. You get the resource credits associated with it, and it gives you certain, you know, functionality on that end of things, in addition to governance. You know, Bitcoin is a little less clear, but the value of the Bitcoin network should be in some way, shape, or form captured in the value of the coin itself, even though, you know, it's not directly related because you don't have it's not related to governance because that's done by the miners. But there are fees associated with it. So, you know, the ones who you heard the other day are absolutely correct. Of course, you listen to other maxis and they say, well, Bitcoin's replacing the dollar. Everything's going to be priced in Satoshi. How is that if everybody is holding their Bitcoin and nobody's spending it? Right. Michael Saylor's sitting there holding 150,000 Bitcoin or whatever the hell he holds now. And guess what? The guy's probably never going to spend it. And now with the change in the FASB rules, you know, Michael Saylor's coming all over himself because it's like now all these corporations can hold it in their treasury. And he's right. They can. The problem is, what happens if Apple buys 100,000 Bitcoin or 300,000 Bitcoin or whatever the hell they want to buy because they got enough money to buy it? What happened? Oh, well, they'll just sit on it. So how are you going to have enough liquidity to have this as a medium of exchange? And you can't. And that's why I go back to people fucking it all up by looking at these digital assets, by looking at these crypto assets and calling it currency. It's not. These are digital assets. The currency is the stable coins, HBD, USDC, Tether, you know, whatever the hell Sun made on Tron. You know, you can argue the validity. Yeah, you can argue whether these are any good or not, but that's what your medium of exchange is. That's what your payment should be.
Right.
And that's why you see the Sucre's paying in HBD, because
John Timms just mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because
he said it'll replace, look at Hive Sucre. Like, look what they're doing. So people will use it, you know.
And they will use it. People use USDC. You know, okay, granted, it's mostly as a parking spot when you sell your Bitcoin and you don't want to go back into Bitcoin, you park in USDC or right. Tether or something. But, you know, we on Hive, because of the grassroots movements we have, we do have some actual utility to the HBD, and there's commerce taking place with it. You know, Leo is accepting HBD for premium payments. Okay, mm-hmm. It's 150 people or 130 people or whatever the hell number who signed up for premium.
It's still 150 people.
Yeah, it's still $1,500 a month or whatever it is. And again, where will that be down the road, especially if we keep building out features like Leo AI and things like that, which you get? I mean, you know, I've written articles. I've made this case before. The goal for Cal with Leo Premium is to make it where if you can afford the 10 HBD, you're an absolute moron on Leo if you do not go premium, if you can afford 10 HBD. It's like if you are in part of the Amazon ecosystem and you use Amazon, you are a moron not to go Prime. Why? Because they build so much value into Prime. Look at all the shit you get and you can do and utilize and the video and the music and the free shipping and the 2-day shipping, whatever the hell they have. I don't even know. I'm not an Amazon person. But, you know, for $120 a year, whatever the hell it costs for Amazon Prime, you're pretty much foolish not to do it. And that's what Cal has to do with Leo Premium, is build just so much stuff into it where it's...
You'd be crazy not to.
Yeah, you're crazy. That, not that the site sucks without it, because it's functionable. You can do threads. You can do everything.
Right,
that,
but just so much value. You're, oh, like this is the old sales. You're over-delivering.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. It's 10 HBD. I don't have to think about it because it's like...
Easy peasy. Yeah.
You know, I mean, let's be honest. Right now, I would not let my premium membership expire simply because I can embed code into threads. Because of embedding videos, this is now worth 10 HBD to me a month, because if I don't do that, I cannot embed videos into these threads. I couldn't embed that video into the threadcast. That's worth 10 HBD a month now to me. So now you throw in Leo AI, even if it's just the most basic of basic things that you can just ask about Leo. You know, what drinks did Tokenize put up in the last month? I mean, maybe it's only as simple as that, but to me, it's like you start getting a few of these together. It's like, okay, this is a no-brainer. And then that's where things change, because all of a sudden you get 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people using Leo ads or Leo Premium. And it's just a no-brainer. And again, think about it this way. Leo is your value capture. What happens with Leo ads? Money comes in the form of advertising, Leo is purchased and Leo is distributed. So it's not put out. So Leo is the asset that's bought. It's not the medium of exchange. It's the asset that's bought with the money that comes in from the advertising. They're not buying the advertising with Leo. They're not paying for the advertising with Leo. They're paying with something else. And then that is being converted and buying Leo on the open market. So, you know, it's just a matter of understanding this stuff. And your Bitcoin Maxi was actually right. But again, that goes against the Bitcoin Maxi narrative that everybody's going to be using Satoshis to pay for everything. No.
Yeah. There you go. What a show, man. But no rants. It was good. It was good. Yeah, man. It's perfect. Good timing. There's no rants. Good quality content.
It takes me a couple weeks to recover. Nobody's pissed me off. I've been building cocktail libraries. I should have sent you the page. Tuesday I'll have to tokenize. Keep putting them up over the weekend, and that way we'll get a nice library going. And
on Shirley Tuesday, Temple for me, sir. Thanks.
Well, I did recommend that. I said, you know, you should. You could also do non-alcoholic drinks.
I haven't had a drink. Last time I had a drink was about 2 kilometers underground with a bunch of people in Steamfest. So when we were all out for dinner in Poland in the mines of Poland.
So I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of things that he can do with that. But then again, he, based upon his question, maybe he's starting to put his dinner recipes together. I don't know. If people start posting recipes and threads, there's another use case. We'll capture them. We'll build the library for them. I mean, you know, again, the information that can be put in there is enormous. And then, of course, it's going to be fed into the Leo AI. I mean, I don't know if it'll have any bearing. I mean, will you be able to ask, how do I make an apple pie? And it'll spit out an answer. If the threads are in there, maybe it will. I don't know what the technology will do. But
how the first question will be how to fire up Task, and Leo AI will spit out, tell people to buy things and sell things using Leo.
No, the first thing is talk about marketing of Hive.
Mm, true.
I mean, that.
Hope you're listening, Leo AI. In due time, guys.
It would be cool if Leo AI could get into multimedia. I don't know what capabilities it has, but you know, imagine if it had the capability of doing what's that? What the hell is the one I was using? It's the big one. They always put their name on the image though, unless you're paying. Stable Fusion. And can imagine being able to do something like Stable Fusion does, where you can like prompt it for, you know, hey, give me a lion, and it creates an image of a lion. That would be cool. I don't know
I've never used AI yet. I know I'm lagging behind society. I can't bring myself to it. I will. I know one day I will, but.
Well, yeah. if you're still using Canva, you're using AI because they
have the option. You can spit it out. It's called presentations or whatever. But I haven't. I opened it up, but I haven't used it yet. But
yeah, I knew Canva was integrating something into their services.
Brave New World, guys. Thank you for rocking out with us. Sorry if you were expecting rants. Next month is when Task will be ranting. A happy LPUD to everyone. It's happy Leo Power Up Month for me, because I just buy Leo and power it up every day. So I'm not very exciting. You guys have a fantastic weekend. Be good to each other. We'll see you on Tuesday. Toodles.
Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Cryptomaniacs podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show and look forward to hanging out with you again next week.